You can find Psalm 72 also in your Bible on page 611. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the top of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The story is told that back in 1864, when the politicians gathered in Charlottetown to hammer out what would be the details of Confederation, they bumped up against a surprising issue. What were they going to call this land of Canada? It had already been agreed that the name of the country would be Canada, based on a misunderstanding of an Aboriginal Indigenous language. But that was going to be it. It was going to be Canada, but not just Canada. You had to have more. You need to stretch that out. They said, well, should it be the Kingdom of Canada? Should it be the Republic of Canada? Should it be the Democratic Union of Canada? Should it be the Federation of Canada? They were arguing this, and no proposal seemed to catch on. There were lots of head scratching, but no decisions. Then Sir Samuel Leonard Tilley, not the hat maker, the one who was at the time Premier of New Brunswick, was a very apparently devout Christian man who read the Bible every day. And at that time, his Bible reading plan took him to Psalm 72. And he was struck by verse 8, which in the King James Version says, he, that is the king, shall have dominion from sea to sea. And he had a brainstorm. A light went off. He said, let's call it the Dominion of Canada. And he presented that, and that That was good. Now, you can argue, like, what actually is a dominion? What does that mean? And no one has really been able to answer that, but it sounds good. And for many years, we had Dominion Day rather than Canada Day. It was also interesting that also from verse 8 in the psalm for today comes the motto of Canada, from sea to sea. Mare usque ad mare, the Latin means from sea to sea. And it's actually, I think, very cool that for we who honor the Bible as the Word of God and live as Christian citizens of this land, to know that the Bible and our nation are connected in this kind of interesting way. If you want to read more about that, in the most recent Christian Courier magazine, Al Wolters has a nice article that reflects on that and talks about that even more. I recommend that you find a copy and read it. It does make me smile a little bit. We are talking about the sea-to-sea bicycle ride. And, you know, it's already underway, and soon Wally and Cynthia are going to be joining the one leg of it. But the sea-to-sea bicycle ride began in 2005 as a way to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Christian Reformed Church in Canada. And the purpose was to raise funds for church planting in Canada. They chose the name Sea to Sea because it is such an utterly Canadian term, drawn from our national motto, pulled from the words of Psalm 72. And that's great. Now the Sea to Sea is a binational thing. It's about poverty reduction. The cause has changed, and it's lost its purely Canadian identity. Well, that's just the way it goes. That's okay. And certainly we want to support the sea-to-sea ride. But let's now turn our attention to Psalm 72 to look at this lovely psalm and see what its message is for us today. 72 is called a royal psalm. It was written during the time that the people of Israel had kings over them. And they would use it as part of the coronation ceremony. So when a new king was being crowned and was about to begin reigning over the people of Israel, this psalm would be part of the liturgy, at least as long as Israel wasn't like worshiping other gods and forgetting about the Lord. But if you look at the Bible in your pews, you'll notice that at the beginning of the psalm, it says, of Solomon. And there's some debate about that. Some people, that means that it's written by Solomon. Well, that could be. Some people say, no, what that means, that it was written for Solomon, that this was composed for his coronation, and this was the first time it was used. I think that it's more likely to be written for him than by him, but we can debate that point. We also should notice that Psalm 72 is a prayer. As many of the psalms are, it is addressed by the people to God. And it's the people's prayer for the king who is about to reign over them. As Teresa was reading, I don't know if you noticed or your ear caught the fact that the most commonly used word in Psalm 72 is the word may. 20 times in 19 verses, the word may is said. And what it means is the people are saying it's our hope, it's our plea, it's our prayer for this new king. We hope that he will. We pray that he will. Oh Lord, may it be that he does this or that. May he bring prosperity. May he defend the weak and the poor and the vulnerable. May he safeguard the earth so that it produces abundantly. May he be protected from his enemies and even be served by them. May it be thus, the people pray to God, because the king has been given power. And the king has the capacity to use his power in ways that are pleasing to God and that are a blessing. And he has the power to use his power in a way that works against the agenda of God and against the blessing of the people and of the earth. You know, power can bless and power can harm. And therefore the people pray, Lord God, may he be good. May he be kind. May he be effective. May he be just. Now the key to this whole psalm is found right at the very beginning. The very first verse says these two things. First it says, endow the king with your justice. Endow the king with your justice. Now what is justice? Justice is an action word. Justice is something that you do. Justice is doing that which is good and right and godly. For instance, justice is making decisions that are based on facts, not on favoritism. Justice is determining what is the will of God and then actually doing it. If you are doing the will of God, you are doing justice. And we know from this psalm and from many other parts of Scripture that means helping the needy. It means having compassion on the weak and the dying. It means protecting and rescuing victimized people from violence. It means ensuring peace. So hear that. The prayer of the people is that the king will be a person of action and that those actions are just. The second thing that first verse, the first sentence says is, endow the royal son with your righteousness. Now, righteousness is different than justice. Justice is doing all these things, helping the poor, the needy, the vulnerable. But righteousness is actually a state of being. Righteousness is in your head, and righteousness is in your heart. It's an orientation of yourself. For a person to be righteous, a person must be aware of God, have a respect for God, and have opened yourself up to be transformed by God. So your mind and your heart, your imagination, your dreams are all lined up with the mind and the heart and the dreams of God himself. So the prayer of God's people is that they have a king who does what is right, justice, and a person who is internally aligned with God so that he will be a good person. I hope that I'm being clear enough about this distinction. One is what you do. You do justice. It's an action, what comes out of you. Righteousness is what you are. It's what's inside. It's what God has transformed you to be, and that you have opened yourself up to be transformed into the person that is righteous. The prayer here is for the king to both be righteous and do justice. It is possible for a person to be righteous, to be aligned inside with God, and still somehow to not do good things. Maybe because of fear, or because of intimidation, or because of laziness. It is possible for someone to be aligned right but act wrong. And sometimes it's possible for a person to do the right things without being actually aligned correctly. Maybe you are doing the right things by accident. Or maybe you're doing the right things because you are afraid of the personal consequences of doing bad things. But the prayer is that the king both be and do that which is right. Now, this was a wish for David. If David wrote this psalm, which some think was what it is, because actually if you look at the very last part of Psalm 72, there's one verse that I didn't have Teresa read. It says something like, I don't have it here, but this ends the Psalms of David or something like that, which say, oh, maybe this psalm actually was written by David for his son Solomon. And there are interpreters that think that's the way it is. You know, if so, David wrote these words and he himself did not measure up. He did not fulfill the prayer of this psalm. Like, it's curious. You know, the Lord said of David that he was a man after his own heart. But he was still the man who had Uriah the Hittite killed so that he could have an affair with Uriah's wife. And he's the one who made decisions that caused tremendous numbers of deaths of God's people. Was he perfect? Did he always do justice? Was he always aligned in his mind in righteousness? The answer is no. And Solomon began so well. You know, he's becoming the king, a bit surprising because he wasn't the oldest son of David. But he became king, and God came to him and says, ask of me anything you want. And Solomon says, well, Lord, look, give me wisdom that I might rule over your people in the right way. Oh, that is such a great answer, such a great request. And God says, I'll give you wisdom, and I'll give you riches, and I'll give you victory over your enemies. Bonus. And then Solomon, you know this story. Solomon started off so right and so wise, but then he started making political alliances with the kings of the different nations all around, and he took their daughters to be his wives, and his daughters brought their gods and said, come on, Solomon, honey, let's go worship my God for a while. And he did. And he lost his focus, and he was led astray, and hardship and terrible things happened because of that. Solomon didn't always do what was right, and he was not always righteous in his mind. They failed. Their brokenness led to trouble for themselves and troubles for their people. Which goes to show that if your hope is in any one person, you say, oh, this guy's my guru. Oh, he's my leader. I'm going to follow her. She's the one that's going to lead me the right way. Well, that person is going to let you down. If you put your ultimate hope and all your eggs in that basket, your eggs are going to get busted, because we are broken and fallible people, and we sin, and we let each other down, and we let ourselves down. Solomon let himself, his people, and God down, as did David, as have we all. Which is why I'm so glad that not only do we look on this prayer as a prayer for David or Solomon, but it's also a prayer for the Messiah. It's called a messianic psalm. It's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. It tells us what kind of king he is and that he was going to be. When we read this psalm, we hear this prayer, and we know that Jesus, as the fulfillment of the prophecy and the fulfillment of the prayers that were offered, say that Jesus was the ultimate king. He was the best. Unlike David, unlike Solomon, unlike you, and unlike me, Jesus is absolutely in tune with his Father. He is the Son of God. And because we confess this, and because the Scriptures revealed it, and because the Holy Spirit has impressed this truth into our hearts and into our minds, we can say, thanks be to God that we have a King of righteousness. We can trust him to be totally aligned with the righteousness of God. And we know, secondly, about Jesus. Well, first we said who he is. He is righteousness. But we also know that Jesus does that which is just. He does the will of God. For the poor, he is their king. For all that are marginalized, he is their king. For those who are afraid, for those that are bound in their sin, for those who are lost, Jesus is the King of justice who comes to them, who delivers them, who protects them, who brings them home and sets them free. And while David and Solomon reigned over the people of Israel for a season, for a few years, quite a number of years, but for a limited number of years, Jesus rules over creation from the beginning until the end and beyond. He is the acknowledged king of all God's people. And that's me, and that's you, and that's us. And that's a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before. That's all the people who are yet to be born, who will be given the gift of faith. That's for all our brothers and sisters in this land and in many, many other lands. As subjects of King Jesus and made members of his royal family by his grace, it is our calling to help make Canada the kind of country that falls in line with the vision of the King and that acts with justice at the example and urging of the King. We are to help make Canada be a country that is kind, a country that grows in prosperity, harnessing the gifts that God has provided and letting the benefits of that prosperity be shared by all. Canada, a country that comes to the aid of the oppressed, that protects the vulnerable, that cares for the sick, that causes the earth and the sea and the sky to be clean and continue in a sustainable and God-glorifying manner. That is our responsibility as the people of the King, living in this part of his kingdom. And for us as individuals to contribute to a Canada that is righteous and that does justice, we need to be that kind of people ourselves. And so we need to think about it, and we need to ask ourselves these kind of questions. Are we people of righteousness? Do we have the mind of Christ? Do we value the things that our Lord God values? Do we see ourselves and the world as God sees the world, and therefore, do we know how to pray for it and how to have concern for it? That's the being. And then there's the doing. Are we doing the deeds of justice as called upon by the King? Do we stand with the vulnerable and the weak and the despised? Do we comfort the grieving and those in distress? Do we contribute to true prosperity for our neighbors, for our enemies, for our environment, for our nation? This is, with the help of the deacons and the help of the elders, we are being asked to see if we are being the people as members of the kingdom and as part of this fellowship, if we are doing and being the people we ought to be and to do. This is called the Canada Day weekend. But really, I think it's Christ the King weekend. And to be honest, every weekend should be recognized by us as Christ the King weekend. And it shouldn't just be weekends. It should be Monday to Friday as well. Every day is the time when we are called to be the people of God that share the mind of Christ and to do justice in imitation of our Lord and allow the kingdom to break out among us. And as Canadians, every day is the day for us to be salt and light in our nation, being and doing that which blesses our neighbors and gives glory to God. Can I hear an amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that he is our King. As we try to be the servants of the King, even the royal representatives of the King, we pray for your help in transforming us and propelling us to do that which is good, that brings you glory. You know where we're at. You know our need. You know where we need to be challenged. And you know where we need to be encouraged to carry on, to continue. So we lay it before you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.